Utilities Advisory Committee, October 12th, 2015.
Schedule the committee members first. Why don't we talk about the agenda quickly to make sure it's what we all want to do. I think because we have guests who are going to talk about the comp plan, that we should take that up first and then at least talk with them about the issues that they'd be interested in. And then I think we'll go back and talk about the swim utility and kind of clean that up. And then we'll go back to this, our own discussion about the comp plan elements, if that's okay with everyone.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
I don't see any place on here to talk about personnel matters, but we'll do that under comments for the good of the order. We can take up Mr. Leach's letter. Unless anybody has anything else, that'll be how the order of the meeting. So because we have guests, maybe we would identify ourselves, and you all can identify yourselves as well. I'm Andy Marin, and I'm the chair of the committee, at least for this year.
I'm Jeff Cantor. I'm the vice chair.
Emily Sato. I'm a committee member.
And Anna Parsons.
Val Tollison from the City Council Liaison.
I'm Nancy Nolan. I'm a committee member.
Jim Thresh, committee member.
John Poppy, Sewer District 7.
Sarah Lee, Sewer District 7.
Bob Hunter, Kitsap PUD.
Stephen Leach, committee.
Barry Lovelace, City Bank Public Works Director.
I'm Ron Pelz here.
Randall Sachsvig, and I designed most of John's treatment plan for Orchard.
Jackson Taylor with the Puget Sound Energy.
Talk to Shell Simpson.
Okay. So I would like to then begin. We'll take a public comment in a bit for those of you who are here. But I'd like to start with the discussion of the comp plan, and we have some guests to talk with us. So for everybody's knowledge, John, Sarah Lee is a commissioner of the sewer district and has been for how many years? The beginning of time.
I was 25, and you were...
I know. How was it was a long time ago, that's right. And I haven't met John.
It's John Poppy,
John
now is
manages
our new manager.
The district, right. Mm-hmm. And Bob Hunter is has been before this committee before, and in a different role. He's now the head of the Kitsap Public Utility District. Before he was... Deputy?
Assistant GM.
Assistant GM. And so how long did you work for the PUD then?
It'd be 30 years in February.
He was also 25.
He was also 25.
Maybe younger.
Maybe five.
Closer to 25.
Yeah.
So, for the three of you, I know you've been in some communication, but we have been tasked by the City Council, we have a lot of council members here, with providing input on about the comp plan and particularly the water resources element and the utilities element of the comp plan. And we thought you guys, being major players in utilities on the island, but might have some thoughts and comments, maybe thoughts on your own about what's in the comp plan or what ought to be in the comp plan. And then we hope you can answer some questions that our members may have. Because we've been talking a bit about both of your utilities off and on. We started this three meetings ago, maybe. And just so you know, each of the members have read the current comp plan, and we have had two meetings to somewhat laboriously go through the elements or the goals and policies of the comp plan that apply to all utilities, not just water and sewer or electrical. We're about finished with that. And we have also talked briefly about each of the comp plan element or utilities in the comp plan. And some that aren't even in the comp plan, like solid waste is in the comp plan. So we've talked through those, and each of us have taken on, we just said we're responsible for it. you've taken on sort of primary leadership. For example, Jeff has spent more time on the water goals and policies, and Emily, as you might expect, is sewer policies. Jim has taken on electrical. Steve has done general, and Nancy has done all others, which is pretty intriguing because, okay, we don't have some for the other utilities. But yeah, that's what we've been doing. So with that,
I could, at least for Bob, I had a question I think that may provide some context for him to help with his comments. So Bob, I believe you have said that there are about 175 water systems on the island, well, minus two. But however, there are only a few major players. In this context, where does KPUB see the future of water service on the island in the context of aquifer management, distribution reliability, and cost-effective service? It's a pretty big and general question.
Yeah, it is. I would tell you it's just a smaller version of Kitsap in that both the peninsula and the island face the same exact issues, is that we get all of our water from what lands on the ground there. It leaks into the ground and we pump it out. City Bremerton, in the case of the Kitsap Peninsula, is the only surface water supply, but it still receives it in the same manner. So I see them both as the same, and I would tell you our challenge in it as utilities is the number of failing systems that we are going to see in the next decade. It's not just happenstance, it's that all these were created in the 60s and 70s. It's time. They're 50 years old. Most of them PVC, 2-3 inch PVC.
You mean failing, you don't mean the water source is failing, you mean the infrastructure is failing.
Yeah. And most of them were created at the time. What we allowed is we allowed these rural subdivisions to occur. So developers came in, developed a water system, whether it's a Group A, which is larger than 15 residential connections or greater, or a Group B, which we're facing many on Bainbridge Island that have come to the PUD and are asking for help today.
Group B,
15. So that's less than 15 residential homes. Above two and less than 15, most of the time you see them as what they would refer to them as six packs, because that was an exemption, the exempt well rule created those. But they're both facing the same thing, in that most of them were developed in the 60s and 70s for the Group A's and the 80s and 90s for the Group B's. And we manage many of those on Bainbridge Island. And I would say the challenge is they have no means to replace themselves. So I know the city, we've gotten the city involved with this Piper water system. This is a Group B system of 8 homes. The cost involved is, our estimate is going to come near $130,000 for 8 homes to replace the water system. I know the city, we're working with the city trying to see if they can extend to serve them rather than them do this. But that's without the idea of even, there's a replacement well required as part of it. And until you drill that well, as anybody in the utility business would say, we really don't know. So that's an estimate. One of the things we're doing with them is suggesting that we drill that well ahead of time to identify water quality issues more than quantity issues. But it'll help drive it. As far as the small Group A's that we're facing, I would tell you we have probably 3 of them at our doorstep today asking us to evaluate us acquiring them. We are currently asking them all to go to the city first, and we want nothing more than to assist the city, enabling them to take these systems over. We would happily assist in funding mechanisms and certain things that we do. The reason they come to Kitsap PUD, quite frankly, is we've been able to find a way to finance their infrastructure replacements in a reasonable manner. is how I would put it. So I think that's key. As far as water resource management goes, being that Kitsap PUD and the city of Bainbridge are the two primary players, especially when we're talking about the deep aquifer, I think it's going to be absolutely necessary for those two entities to work collectively in managing the aquifers. I think what the groundwater model that the city paid to have done and the Kitsap Peninsula's model, which will be unveiled in November, will likely say that about the same thing, is if we don't start managing, we have plenty of water. It's how we decide to manage that water supply will determine our future. And it's just, we can't put our straws in the same bucket at the same time. It requires management. I think in discussions with the city, I think between Kitsap PUD and the cities, we have the infrastructure in place to do much of what we need to do, but a lot of it is pure data collection. I do believe the city has currently hired somebody to do an evaluation, rerun the model, to prove some of these thoughts, which I think is great. And again, it's a model. You need to prove it out. So I think even the USGS modelers would say you should do some work. At the end of the day, when the model's done and it says what it says, I think there's a level of effort that may take another year or two that collectively we should collect data, we should do some stuff, we should rest aquifers and see what the impact. I know that's in the future of Kitsap as well. I think it's critical that the government agencies work together. We are the solution to failed infrastructure. I don't think you're going to see people investing, private investors investing in water infrastructure. I think if it was a great business, we wouldn't get it. That's what we're here to do, is serve in that manner.
Thanks.
Anybody else have any questions?
I do. Just one.
Dave, yeah.
How does a utility district go about financing a project or an acquisition?
Well, we use the LUD, which I think cities call it ULIDs.
That's a local improvement district.
Yeah. And so we'll lead property for the next 20 years. We'll leverage it. So I would tell you one of the more creative things that we've done lately is we use Kitsap Bank. We've engaged Kitsap Bank, local lender, rather than go to the bond market. They lent us $2 million, 3% interest for 15 years. And the 15 years was ours. They would have extended it as long as we wanted, but we chose 15. No upfront fees. We can pay it off anytime we want. You can't do that with bond proceeds. Actually, if you went to the bond market, it would be more than that. And not to mention, if we went to the bond market with the same amount, we would have probably paid nearly $100,000 in fees up front. So, which again, it doesn't make it financially viable for someone for us to acquire. So that's one mechanism. I would tell you, we just recently, and actually on Friday, we found out the Crystal Springs water system, which is a Group A water system, we leveraged our, I would say we leveraged our reputation with the State Department of Health and encouraged them to do what we thought was necessary. They've given us a straight revolving fund loan. I hope that was the name. And they're given 50% debt forgiveness. So that project is a $300,000 project that the state's going to forgive half of the debt on that. And for those 17 homeowners, it means a great deal. So they're not aware of it, because we just found out on Friday. I have a community meeting on Wednesday. So the State Department of Health If you go to their website, drinking water side, if you go to their website, it's going to tell you one of their primary goals is to reduce the number of Group A water systems in Washington. I will tell you, Washington State has, we are third in the nation for number of water systems. We're not even close to the third largest state. But the state would see the current system that they have to be unsustainable. They will not be able to sustain the level of funding to regulate the number of water systems out there. In Kitsap County, there's more than 271 Group A water systems. And there are like six major water providers. And so there is a ton of these small water systems. And so for Kitsap PUD, that's been our growth for the last two and a half decades, is the acquisition of these. And it's really, when I say acquisition, it is really not the district going out and seeking. It is the people seeking the district. And that's probably why it works, because the moment I knock on the door and say, I'm the government, and I have a deal for you, is the moment they slam the door. So we're pretty creative in how we work with them to finance different. And so I would tell you, we have no one key. We'll use all sorts of different methods to do it.
Hey, Bob. So with all these systems needing to replace their infrastructure, can you talk about the city fire code and its regulations to the extent you can remember them, and how they are an impediment to these small systems and balloon the costs of trying to replace a small system to meet current city code versus...
Right. I will say the city's tough. The cities are different. And so I would say that if I was inside any other city in Kitsap County, the fire code is the fire code and that's what we would follow. But the city of Bainbridge is different, because the city of Bainbridge isn't your standard urbanized city. It's more of a rural city, at least the areas we serve. But I will tell you, we haven't had many challenges with the city of Bainbridge. I can tell you we've had plenty of challenges with Kitsap County in the same manner. And I would tell you these rural subdivision systems, and when I say that, I don't mean Island Utility in South Bainbridge. Those are larger systems. When I say that, I'm talking about 50 connection water systems in the rural area that are developed with 2 and 3 inch and 4 inch pipe with no storage. It's a complete hydropneumatic system type scenario. It's been there for 50 years. The idea, Kitsap County's fire code would say if you replace it with anything larger than like size, you have to meet the fire code standard, which will take the price of that project per home from $12,000 per home to $45,000 per home, because now you're talking about storage, you're talking about gravity, you're talking about maintenance, much higher maintenance costs. And so the price of water just skyrockets. And there's a reason we have GMA, and there's a reason we're trying to condense development. It's really because we can't afford. It's not sustainable to have these rural subdivisions. It's just not sustainable to keep doing that. And so the challenge that we have, and I don't directly go to the fire chief. I know the fire marshals. They know. I warn them what's going to happen when I give this community a price of, if I replace it like size and do this, it's this. If we go to a fire flow level, it's that. They're the people. If they got a problem, they can take it up with their county commissioners. Normally, the fire marshal then talks to everybody and gets involved and supplies a waiver. To me, rural utilities, it's about sustainability. You know, I told you that 50% debt forgiveness for Crystal Springs. The last thing we should do is build a system that 50 years from now, they have to get 50% debt forgiveness to replace it again. So we need to build sustainable infrastructure, but that can last. I mean, we're doing 4 different water systems replacements right now that'll occur over this next year. Most of them have gotten waivers for fire flow, and most of them are in rural Kitsap. We're talking 5 miles away from the nearest urban growth area. So the idea, I think there's a middle ground in there. And I, conversations I've had with Silverdale Water District and other water providers in Kitsap County, I have another water system coming to us that's just, it's a half mile outside the urban growth area that wants us to take it over, and they want us to replace their infrastructure and do all that. That's a different animal. We have to look at them independently. And in that case, should we make the investment? Do we believe the urban growth area is going to extend to there in the next 15 years? And the answer, yeah, we kind of do. So we shouldn't replace the blank sites. We should consider those things. And I think on this island, that's probably part of the consideration that should happen, is you need to look at its proximity to what the city's plan is as far as expansion of their utilities. And those things should be considered. Kitsap PUD or even the city, I would advise against just jumping out there and doing something and then 10 years from now, replacing what you just did, because you're not getting nearly the life out of what you had anticipated. It's complicated, but...
What do you mean by sustainable infrastructure when you talk about rebuilding water?
Well, for example, we're doing this community of Port Gamble, and truly have a challenge there in that codes are... There's a reason that community would not be created today. And it's because to serve that community at the level of the codes would mean the price of the monthly bill would be $400 a month. No one would move out there, for a water bill. But if you build it, if it's going to exist and it's going to stay there, you need to build reasonable rates. And those rates have to incorporate the replacement of that infrastructure so that we don't come back. Right now, we can go after funding, whether it's on the sewer side or the water side. We can get funding all over the place to do work. I have to imagine at some point that's not going to be available. And so when I talk about sustainable, I talk about we need to build stuff today that the people that live on it today, because it's not an urbanized area, it's not tended to grow, can replace it. So it has to be meet the need of the people that are there, and they have to be able to afford it. That's them.
So thank you. We need to move down the table now to the sewer side.
It is okay. All about sewer, Andy.
Yeah. It's all about sewer. We all get there, yes. I understand. So, and then maybe dialogue with Bob, Dave, Bob with that.
Go ahead. I was just wondering if I could give a little background on who we are, because I think a lot of people say, excuse me, you have a sewer district in a city? How did that happen? And how are you different from them anyway? And, what's your district, and can you go grab outside the district, or how's all that work? And to tell you a little bit about our sewer district, I need to tell you a little bit about history. One of the history things I have to tell you is I have a fellow former commissioner, Emily Sato, who, bless your heart, was one of our sewer commissioners. So, if you're all familiar with Fort Ward, you know probably that it was built as a Coast Artillery fort in about 1898. And the reason why is it was to guard the Bremerton shipyard. And they did that with mines that they floated, and it would have been really cool because they're all connected by cable. They push a button, boom. And then they also had some guns to make sure that people didn't take out the mines. Well, and then in World War II, it was a top secret listening post, and it listened on a bunch of important Japanese messages, and we could go all into that, but we won't. Let's fast forward to 1958, when the military said, all right, we're finished. We really like to get rid of this now. And so there was all this public debate. Seattle Times, University of Washington should take it over. No, it should be a park. No, it should be development. And in the end, it became partly a state park, and partly they sold a big chunk off to 3 guys who just went, whoa, this is so cool. Let's cut it up into tiny little lots, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 square feet. But to do that, they needed to show that they could get rid of the effluent, as we call it. And they had an advantage. The military had a system. All that it was, really, was a bunch of pipes that went from the building and dumped out into Ridge Passage, which really was illegal at that time. But hey, no one noticed that. Anyway, so the developer created a sewer district and got, for some reason, I don't know who, three credible people to run for it. And then they put in ads in the Seattle Times for all of these great vacation lots and met the ferry with buses and sold them all within a couple weeks, and then they went away. And there were maybe a couple of dozen people who lived there. And they kept using the sewer. And every so often there'd be a backup. And the sewer commissioners all had boots and shovels, and they dealt with it. And then something called the Clean Water Act passed in 1972. The Clean Water Act kind of frowned on things like this and said, you know, we got to do something about this. And the sewer commissioners got together and they said, well, we can't do anything really amazing, but we could do a drain field. How about a community drain field? They put together a plan, handed it to the Department of Ecology, and the Department of Ecology said, no. And the little sewer district tried a bunch of different options and finally just gave up. And about 1985 or so, the Department of Ecology noticed that nothing really had happened, and they took the little sewer district to court. And they said, so they took them to court, and it was really a sad story on the sewer district's part, and frustrated, you know, that the ecology was very frustrated. And the judge said, okay, we're going to take a lunch break now, and when we come back, you, Department of Ecology, you need to tell this little sewer district what you really want them to do. And you, little sewer district, you need to tell me how you're going to pay for it. And our attorney stood up and said, we'll take their question if they'll take ours. So what we did was we put together a primary treatment plant for a while, and then we went to secondary. I learned a lot about grant writing, and we got part of it grant-funded, and part of it was a Centennial Clean Water Act grant. And since then, we have grown from 38 homes to about 250. And since that time, we have also become a wholesaler. And we are a wholesaler to you, the city. You bring sewer to the edge of our district, about 250 homes equivalent, and we treat it. So we have about 500 connections now. Our current capacity is about 1,000. And that's just as we are right now. The way we developed the plant was we had it so we could put in four aeration plants. I call them bubbleators because they're kind of cool. We only have two right now. So we have option of going to at least 2,000 capacity at some point. We keep it pretty simple. We have one pump station. We use ultraviolet light. We don't use chlorine. Two aerators, two clarifiers. Our budget is very, very simple. It is $390,000 a year. Our rates are about half what the cities are. And we do that partly by we have everybody's on contract, and we don't get paid, and we keep it fairly simple. But it's really simple in a way because it's one thing. We've had for years, really, we were very, very lucky to have this couple who decided to be our manager and our engineer for about 20 years. And they also helped finance us for a long time as well. They finally decided to retire. So my last year and a half, I've been working on what should be the next business model. And we looked at a bunch of different opportunities, but one of the things we decided to do was go with a third-party bookkeeper, which is great. And then we snagged John Poppy, and he's got 40 years in the industry, and he's a Portland State University person, but you're not. And he's work for a lot of municipalities at CH2M Hill. He's been on the state Washington rulemaking committee. And so he is our part-time manager. And one of the things that when I talked with Barry earlier today, he was saying, what kind of issues do you guys have? One of our issues, of course, is we'd like to find out, of course, since we are a district and we cannot go outside of our district, we can't expand outside of that district, most likely. So our question is, are you guys expanding your sewer connections in Lynnwood Center, et cetera, because we need to know, because we have capacity, but we want to talk to you about it. Another big issue, one of the benefits that we've gotten, the bonuses we've gotten with John Poppy here is, I don't know if you've ever been to the old West Sound, it used to be West Sound Sewer, right?
It is still West Sound Sewer.
Okay. I met him going on a tour there of sewer web technology. And I know a lot about web technology because my twin sister lives in Singapore, and every time I go to Singapore, I go to Singapore's treatment facility because they have a new water plant, and they combine their web treated water with regular water, and that's what people drink. Anyway, John has, among the many, many other things, he's been talking to us about getting us to start talking about, what if we treated this water to a higher level? What if we used to recharge? So when you were talking about water, because as you said, the only place we get water really from is from here, that's his...
And just so, John also is a part-time employee at Kitsap Community. Mm-hmm. In our endeavor of Port Gamble and an NBR plant, and we're putting water...
When you say NBR...
It's a
membrane.
Yeah, it's a membrane bioreactor.
And it really looks like these webs. Have you guys ever seen
that? That's what you're doing in Port Gamble?
Yes. Yes. And really, this is a big. Again, this was something that the OPG Olympic Property Group, the Port Gamble Squalums, and the Suquamish tribes, and our local legislative people requested Kitsap to you to get involved in this. It's really about the removal of an old, aged wastewater system and a removal of an outfall in the Hood Canal. So one of the large benefits here is it opens up 90 acres of geoduck harvest. And so there's a lot of different reasons going on here. The reason we jumped into it is really about water resource management. It's rather than waste it into the Sound or the canal, let's get it back in the ground.
That's our story.
Okay. Questions for the...
I know you're talking to the city about sewage or not?
Not us.
Or KPUD? No. Okay. Just...
We want to figure it out first before we do anything other than what we're doing. And honestly, what we're doing out there with that sewer plant is, again, it's about rural communities. Mm-hmm. And we've been preaching the idea that it's a complete system. It's about what we use, get it back on the ground. We've been pro drain field because the scare is if we started running sewer mains all over and started collecting our sewage and dumping it in one spot, we're going to have some issues. When we were presented with this case, how could we say no? Believe me, the utility part of it would. You know, all advice from all other managers of sewer systems say, you don't want to do that. Yes. But the fact is that's, you know, that's what we're there to do. And so really, this effort was a perfect scenario for us. There's one person who pays the bill. It's OPG. So I don't have a whole bunch of people. So if I can't make this one work, then we're in a lot of trouble. So that's our effort. And then, you know, all these rural communities from Seebeck to Hansville to, there are large areas in this county that are all septic driven. And the idea that someday something may have to be done to put yourself in the position to be able to assist if we're needed. But again, there we work with Kitsap County. This island has a lot of those same type communities. And we would work with the cities. I think the city's already done a bunch of work in this effort, I think, on the city to prepare themselves for that. You know, whether it's Point Monroe or those areas of the city. So,
So I know neither of you can speak for your boards of commissioners, full boards of commissioners, but just ask this question about your reaction. One of the issues that's come up around the table during the previous discussions is, gee, why do we have so many utilities? Can we work together? Can we consolidate? Can we coordinate activities, perhaps by interlocal agreements, so that it can work better for everyone, be more economical? There are historical reasons you explained why, for sewer district, and the PUD, of course, has been around for much longer, why they're independent governments, but is there any, do you see any hindrance to at least future communications between all of our governments to see if we can work together in various ways?
Well, right now we do work with the city. We have interlocal agreements to treat the city's sewage.
Right.
I think that if over the years people have said, why doesn't the city take over the sewer district? And we've always said, if they can do it as cheap as we can do it, and do it well, we're all over it, man. And so when, in fact, the last year and a half, when I was looking at different management options, one of the management options we looked at was, should we go to the city, should we go to KPUD, should we go, and we just, KPUD didn't have the sewer at, authority at the time.
We still don't.
And the city, we didn't feel, could do it as cheaply as inefficiently. So that's where we are, and that's where our ratepayers really are. If it can be done cheaper, faster, better, and I don't have to spend so much time
somebody else
for free, then I'm all over it.
No, we wouldn't have any problem working with the city. Actually, we would encourage that. You know, most of you probably know that we prior to the city becoming island-wide, we were wholesalers to the city with the Fletcher Bay system.
Right.
And when that all occurred, the city said they want to do everything. And we did step away from the island once before. So nothing's insurmountable. It's all about the will of the people.
So just everybody, we're going on a tour of the water system Friday. One of them is the deep well, the city's deep well at Fletcher Bay, which is the deep well. The city's deep well was previously owned by the PUD and sold to the city in 4 hours. 1990, I think?
It was like, yeah, it was early 90s, 93 so, maybe even.
I think it closed then, but the agreement was earlier. So.
Bob, could I just ask, sorry, I apologize for being late. I got held up inadvertently. Is the PUD is seeking sewer authority or is it not?
It is. It'll be on the ballot.
It's going to be on the ballot. So you're seeking that authority.
Yes.
And in that case, you could potentially take over Sewer District 7.
Only if we...
Believe me when I say we will tread into that very, very cautiously. Like I said, it's really for us. It's about the community and it's about the people. I know there's lots of utilities out there that will say no. For us, it's like the people of this island vote for my board members. You know, we serve them, whether we serve them or not, is our view.
And one of the things is, too, you know, KPUD is now doing water for us in our area. It's just sort of like when the Bainbridge Parks District took over Fort Ward Park, no one really knew much about the Park District, and then everyone was just going, whoa, these people are great! And all of a sudden, when we said, hey, do you want to get involved with us on our Fort Ward Community Hall? What if we get the Park District involved? Everyone said, yeah, they're doing great. So one of the things that's great about KPUD doing this South End Sewer or South and Water is that we're all getting a chance to work together.
And you know, the one thing I would caution anybody if this becomes a business for the PUD in the future would be that we will always consider, if we get involved in it, we will always consider taking it from the Sound and getting it back up. So cost-wise, You know, if it's all about cost, the current way it's happening is probably that, you know, anything different than that will cost more. It mm-hmm. just, that's life, that's how it goes. So it will, you know, we would have no real, if the Kitsap County came to us and said, you know, you operate water in Kingston, why don't you take over the sewer plant? Yeah, I don't think we're just jumping in like that. So
everyone, we're over time. If you want to tear up, well, we can certainly keep going and have a special meeting and deal with the other stuff.
Can I just ask a quick question? Yeah. The communications with the city or among all the parties, are those regularized and formal, or are they ad hoc issued communications?
In our in-local agreement with the city, we are supposed to have one meeting a year in February and sit down and talk about the city's needs and our needs. And Barry and I were talking about we probably want to do that more often, and because we've got a lot of issues that we all want to work together on. And but yeah, that's really important.
As far as the water goes,
Steve, the interlocal agreement they have is where the city wholesales from mm-hmm. from Linwood to the,
yeah. Okay. I think on the water side, we should develop some formal committee. Similar to what we do in Kitsap County, we call it Water Pack. The city of Bainbridge is part of that. It's where all water purveyors, we have a monthly meeting, and we have a chair, a vice chair, and a budget. We don't need to go to that depth, but I think the idea would be is if the city and Kitsap PUD are working together, we should invite all the other homeowner association water systems, everybody to attend that wants to attend, and to ensure transparency and to ensure that people realize that what we're doing, what we're trying to work together, and it really serves the need. If the city and Kitsap PUD work together to do manage water resources on the island, if it's only just the systems we own, the beneficiary are all of the water systems on the island, because it's really managing the aquifers, and they're all in them at some point. So
by the way, during the mid-1980s, the city had, the county had established an island-wide water committee called the Bainbridge Island Water Coordinating Committee, which was just for the people in utilities on the island.
There you go. That's where we should go.
And I know because I served on that long ago. But that's where we meet once a month, all the utilities, and talk about stuff.
If not for anything but education and information sharing, so you know it's. You gotta learn to communicate and trust before you can collect even data from people. We just don't want to share anything until we can do that. So.
Andy,
yeah,
can we get a quick comment from Bob on what their role in providing internet is on the island?
Good idea.
Broadband. So, you know, we have a survey out right now. There's more than 1,800 people in Kitsap County have gone online to put the survey out. I didn't come to really do that, but if you go to our website, you'll see it. It'll help us guide where we go in the future. We are wholesale telecommunications, so we are not an internet service provider, so we don't get to bill individual users. There will always be a wholesale, or we're a wholesale, so our customers, Wave Cable, CenturyLink, many other providers. They're all but Comcast. They just refuse to buy service from anybody but themselves. However, we're really active, really working with Puget Sound Energy, because the difference between us and all other telecommunication PUDs is that we don't own the poles. All of the other ones do own the poles. So it's easy to attach, easy to run. We are working with Puget Sound Energy collectively right now on a pole attachment agreement that will hopefully allow us to expand more rapidly and more cost effectively. so that we can go further. I will say, of the 1,800 surveys, 900 of them are from Bainbridge Island. So it is without a doubt the most active group when it comes to that. Unfortunately, they're not. They don't all live in the same neighborhood, so they're all spread out, and you guys are kind of rural. And so, you know, but ultimately what that will do is the reason we invested in this survey, what it really does is it maps people. As when you go in and fill it out and you do the work in there, it maps it, and it also tells us what kind of service people want. And what it will drive our capital program. So we'll be able to see the areas in need, the areas that believe they're underserved, and quite frankly, we will build our capital program based on the people that are filling them. So, again, we're very creative in how we can finance builds into communities. If they want to be a fiber community, if they want fiber to go home, I will tell you, Senator Rolfes is pushing a bill. There will probably be a new bill. There's a hearing on Wednesday. It's not a hearing. It's a work session, a legislative work session down out on the coast we are participating in. And this idea of getting PUDs retail authority keeps coming up. I will tell you, PUDs, I can speak on behalf of all the PUDs that do telecommunications, they're not interested in actually being an ISP or doing retail to the home. What they are interested in doing is doing government to government. So for Kitsap PUD and broadband, we're connected to every government facility. And the deal is when we're connected, if we can have this relationship with them, we will become more efficient government. I think that's what the people desire. So there's that. The other piece is it's all about an open access network. At the moment at which Kitsap PUD builds to every home and attaches something right next to the power meter, is the moment that you as a homeowner have access to multiple providers all over the country. And it's really just someone to bill you or provide you service at the level at which you want it. And so it's really about an open access, not, we don't just want to become the next Comcast. We will write it into ours. Even if we get full unfettered retail authority, we will write into our policies that we're required to do open access because of that reason. So anyway, that's it. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm a little long-winded.
Anybody else? Thank you. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Some of you are free to stay, or you're free to head out of here. Thank you. Well, we went a little longer, but it's obviously very interesting. So let's return back to the agenda, and let's deal with some housework first. We're back to the meeting notes. We have meeting notes to approve for the last two meetings. Good. All right. We have meeting notes from the last two meetings, 28 and the 12th. The 28th, not everybody had last time. So, what do we think?
I'll make the motion to approve the 28th.
I'll second that.
All right, it's been made, moved and seconded. Any other comment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. It passes. And a short notes from the 12th.
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes of the 7th.
Seven. All right, so motion made.
Second.
Anybody else? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, passes. Thank you. All right, public comment. I assume, I don't know if Randall wants to comment. I assume that's why he came. He sent a long email. We'll give him a chance when he comes in. Anybody else want to comment?
Yeah, very briefly. So
I have been the anonymous person in the corner for the past month or so.
You haven't been anonymous.
I think at one point in the notes I was listed as anonymous gentleman. My name is Jackson Taylor. I am a community project manager with Puget Sound Energy. So I do a lot of community engagement work here on Bainbridge Island. One of the events that I've been working on is the safety event in coordination with the City of Bainbridge Island and with Base Hardware, which is happening this Saturday. I hope to see you guys there. In any case, I just wanted to quickly say I have sent some of you an email inviting you to kind of do a one-on-one and just have coffee and get to know each other a little bit better. For various reasons that didn't work out, some of us were taking European vacations, and I actually went on my honeymoon as well in September. But I'm back, happily married and back, so I'll make another run, so expect to see some emails from me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Okay. We'll give Randall another chance when we come back, when he comes in. Let's go to item number four, the swim ordinance. Are you the swim ordinance? So, to pick up where we started last time, or to pick up further than that, we have two things to do today. One is to talk about the swim ordinance that the City Council referred to us. And at the last meeting, we said none of us even looked at it. We wanted to look at it and see what we wanted to do with it. So I hope everybody's had an opportunity to read it. We also all got a copy of Mr. Dashiell had made his own suggested edits and sent those around to people. But before we do that, I think we ought to finish what we spent all those months talking about, which is our report on the operating expenses. We discussed that on the 28th, as you remember. We had one last change, and then I said we'd bring it back on the 12th. So I have, and I've done that. And I'll hand it out to you now. Here's the gentleman who passed me around. Look at it. I'll keep it for a second here. So this is what we look at on the 28th, and the only change what I made is in the very last sentence of the document. As you remember, we all wordsmithed a little bit the last sentence.
Was there some discussion of where we were holding off doing this till we...
There was. And we... the question was whether we would go ahead and do this or whether we would wait and see what numbers came from Barry. We can hold off on this. Or we can... I actually thought, in light of Steve Leach's purported resignation, this would be his last official meeting where he could participate in voting on this, since he spent half his life this summer working on this document. You may want to take it up before he leaves, or you might feel wounded if he didn't get a chance to take an official vote.
Or I may not want it on my record that I...
You may not want on his record.
No one can run against
if I have no record.
I have no record.
That's right, you have no record. So, we have those choices. We can do this now and be done with it, although the actual implementation of it is something that's going to be based, that is the City Council's reductions or implementation of this will be based on numbers that are coming up. So maybe before we go further, do you have any further word, Barry, on where you are with the numbers?
Well, not quite there. Hopefully by the end of the week. Hopefully, certainly by the next meeting on the 26th. So there's still some properties that we're having to sort out with manual measurements and some questions. It looks like, though, just at the highest level, we're going to lose some ERUs in this reassessment. And so right now it's around 200, but there's still some others that could go down a little bit, as well as the school district has some LID discount or properties. So I was trying to get an idea of, you know, what do I think the worst case scenario is, and I probably would guess maybe 100 or 300 ERUs. So what does that mean financially? That means about $40,000 a year in revenue. So basically what we're saying here. Now, what I don't know is actually not to put Dan on the spot, but if the parks actually starts paying, then that may make up that revenue, at least part of it. I don't know how much. I don't have the bottom line of parks at this point.
Parks just plan on paying.
Yeah. So they're planning on paying, so they'll pay something. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to be short revenue just based on current rates and the reassessed number of ERUs. We're going to lose a few ERUs, but we might, which is about 40,000, I'm saying, in revenue potentially, but we'll make up some by parks, I think. Barry. So probably hopefully close to neutral. We'll see.
For sure, it's going to.
But the thing is, there is going to be some high ups and downs. You know, that's what I was kind of focusing on here on the first report. I said, who's changing significantly? Mm-hmm. Like, who's going to go way up and who's going to go way down? So I kind of have the two extremes. There's just a lot of current errors in billing. So we think we have a much more accurate measurement going on now, doing it by GIS, drawing a shape, having the computer calculate that area, documenting that in the spreadsheet so you can go and say that shape is that building and that's how many square feet. And it's pretty accurate, at least from what I can tell. It looks very accurate, much more complete. So anyway, we have things like, for example, Blakely Elementary School, Wilkes Elementary School, evidently have been overcharged by about 37 ERUs each. So those ones are going down on the low end. McDonald's has been greatly overcharged, 15 ERUs, Washington State Ferrier. Then on the high end, things that are going up, Boardway Elementary going up quite a bit. Of course, we have Battle Point Park. Those are the two biggest ones. And obviously, we're going to need to audit these, but those are 100 ERUs short. Woodward Elementary, 82. Wing Point Country Club, 33. Meadowmere, 33. Wacky Nut, 26. So those are kind of the significant changes I'm seeing.
Barry?
Yeah.
If, as a result of your audit, is this going to open the door to those customers who may feel that they've been overcharged making claims for reimbursement, and then disputes with those who find that their bills are going to be significantly increased because as a result of the audit?
I believe that's a possibility, but I'd have to kind of defer to the attorney on how that would be handled.
Okay.
And maybe that was the part of the reluctance to go through the drill in past years, maybe. Didn't want to know the answer, but the answer is the answer.
The answer is the answer. All right, so what's your thinking on this document? So whether you move this forward or you want to wait further?
I don't really know that it would change our recommendations if you think about it.
That's what I was trying to get a feel. Is it a major financial difference on what we're finding or not? Or
no. I mean, right. We changed these recommendations. Mm-hmm. Whether you're going to look at a couple of the specific cases ultimately that you bring up that are significantly changing and try to understand why and whether we still agree with that.
But that's not going to change.
But that doesn't change this, no. So I just brought up because we had talked about
it. Yeah,
we did. Agreeing the two, but I'm not sure one needs to follow the other.
Okay.
you know, ultimately it does, because the swim utility has to look at revenues and income. But,
right. So what does everybody else think?
So I'm ready.
I believe we're in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, over on the big picture, like you said, the individual.
There may be a lot of
takes or, could be some, you know, and there into those pieces.
Presumably, there'll be a little bit of a public affairs explanation and so on to ease the impact and some careful explanation for customers and all that.
Well, we intended to give a notification and offer the assistance of auditing or reviewing records, just to make sure that they understand what it is, how the numbers drive, or the numbers that create that.
Steve.
Yeah, I think I find this is sort of like voting for one of the omnibus spending bills that Congress gets. There are parts of it that I would have exceptions to, and that being the 50-40-10 split with the water quality and flow monitoring program, because it is self-described as a discretionary program, and therefore, it seems to me the benefits are general, and it may not be possible to really parse it enough to be able to definitively allocate whether the benefits go to the general population, how much go to the swim utility, and how much go to the water. It seems to be going, I would argue for a 90-10 split between 90 general fund and 10% water utility, but it's going in the right direction, and this is, it's the package, and so I will vote for it, but I just wanted to note my concerns about water quality and flow monitoring.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it was one of the many compromises.
Yeah, it was a compromise. Mm-hmm. All right, so is everybody ready to move on this then? So yes?
Yes.
All right, do I have a motion? Yes. Is that your motion, Jeff?
Yes, I'll make the motion to adopt the recommendation regarding swim operating expenses dated 10, 12, 15.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Second from Steve Johnson. Any other comments? There's been a lot of comments.
Well, it is, in fact, going to the capital program, the savings.
That's what it says. Last sentence. These savings help fund the swim capital program.
Okay. But it says shifted to the general fund, so I just wanted to make sure.
Shifted to the general fund and that these savings help fund the swim capital program. That's our recommendation. The city council has been doing anything darn well.
So the expenses are shifted to the general fund, but the
savings.
So expenses are going to general fund. Cost savings or cost avoidance in the utility itself goes to the capital. That's what it says.
Yes.
We're recommending that the general fund pay for this stuff instead of swim.
And that therefore.
Right. Right.
That therefore there'll be more money is left
to fund
the for the capital. That's what we want.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Good. So that means you can vote yes.
Just so we don't get the funds mixed up here.
That's right. You're right. All right, either comment? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, passes. Thank you.
I have a question about the report that Barry just made. I noticed that both Meadowmere and the Wind Point Club, for example, were short on how many ERUs. Now, was that because of a reevaluation? Or was that because of the redefinitions that we were doing about gravel and?
It's probably mostly in those cases reevaluation.
You mean?
Because I don't think there's a lot of gravel there. I think they both have paved lots.
Yeah.
So we probably just remeasured and got more accurate measurements.
So it was a remeasurement, accurate measurements?
Yeah.
Does the term ERU disappear with this new ordinance?
Well, we propose going to ISU, impervious surface unit, to try to
to, it's a common one that other utilities use, and it kind of helps differentiate between that and sewer. Sewer we deal with ERUs, and it can get confusing.
So let's
so
shift
that's
to
the suggestion.
Yeah, let's shift to that in a second. I'm going to give you this on things.
Okay.
So let's now shift to the actual itself. And if it's all right with you, we took a public comment when you guys were out of the meeting, and now we're into another topic. So if you want to make public comment and leave, you're free to do that now, or you can wait till the end. Or you can just, or you can, we'll move on. I just didn't want you to.
I just want to make a quick comment. One of the things that's been talked about in relation to water, I know you were talking about that early, was the idea of a water plan for the island.
Can you speak up, Ron, please?
One of the things that was discussed during the comp plan workshops was the idea of a water plan for the entire island to eventually manage the water, groundwater resources. Is that anything, something that has been discussed at all recently? And, I mean, I'm supposed to comment. I guess I'm not. We're not going to have a conversation about it. But just that, I hope that you. It's something that is on your radar screen. You have thought about what that would, how that might fit in with the discussion of getting all the organizations together, the government entities, and the water systems. Eventually that could evolve into a water plan.
Yeah, you're right. This isn't a question and answer period, but I'll answer quickly. Okay. We've been talking about, you know, goals and policies in the water element for utilities, water utilities. And one of the things we talked about is, as I questioned them about, is some method to have collaboration or coordination, perhaps even consolidation amongst the water utilities on the island. And we haven't grappled with that, but that's somewhat of what you're talking about.
Okay,
so some planning effort to have better management.
I guess my comment was I encourage you to think about a water plan similar to what Vashon Island has sometime in the near future.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
I think it's a terrific idea. It was a terrific idea to have, we had three of the four major entities in water resource management for the island in the same room at the same table talking. What a concept. Really great idea. I think I spoke at the council meeting on Tuesday night about an island utility study. I sent around a follow-up on that to the council and to you, Andy. I think that's...
Did that not do it to everybody?
I just sent it to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll send it to everybody.
I think that's a great...
Send it to Roz to send it.
Great?
Send it to Roz to send it.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
I mean, it hasn't been fleshed out very explicitly, but I think it's a great... to me, sounds like a great start at getting all of all four of these entities together to cooperate and develop at least a basic framework for cooperation on managing water resources. There are other elements, broadband and power are another bit, but my main focus is on the water resource element, and I think that's just seeing the three entities tonight around the same table. It's a very encouraging sign to me, and I'm glad it happened, and I hope it happens more.
We'll have all the former UAC members back. I assume you all know Randall was on this committee as well before. And certainly. Thank you. Okay. Let's go back now to the swimming utility. You're out of here, Dan? Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right, let's pick up the swim utility and figure out what do you all want to do with this.
The ordinance?
This ordinance?
Yeah, what did I say? This ordinance. Ordinance. Mm-hmm. What do you want? I read it. I assume everybody else has had a chance to read it. What does everybody think?
Well, it's got a lot of stuff in here we didn't talk about, actually. And it's kind of weird. I mean, what is the purpose of this ordinance? It started where I started asking myself, because it's really hard to find in all the whereases why we're doing this. I really thought the bottom line was because we're changing the fee structure, and not, but it talks, put it in line with best management, best practices, and I'm not sure what those mean. And to address issues relating to utility function not previously addressed. I mean, I can't figure out where it's going with that, unless it's indirectly pointing to the fact that it's making the city manager now able to do with the fund whatever he feels appropriate. And that does concern me, because it seems to me this utility's struggle to figure out where its role is and what it, you know, what it's going to do when it grows up. And it's kind of taking it out of the hands of council and putting it in the hands of the city manager to figure that out.
Where is that?
It's pretty clearly covered in there. Robert, do you remember where that is?
Yeah, I don't have it on my screen right now, but it's...
must be in the purpose statement, I guess. And that's, the rest of it is kind of raised.
This is pretty much, it was quite an eye-opener.
Not under powers and authority,
but give a number.
Well, no, I haven't found it yet.
Oh.
Well, purpose is 1324.10, and power and authority is
1324.080. Well, it says utilities administered under the direction of the city manager under utility established. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Where is that?
There's one. There's actually one that says gives the city manager pretty much the flexibility to determine what the utility does.
1324.060.
You're like my wife, Robert. When I say speak up, she whispers more clearly.
Yeah, more distinctly, huh?
All right, there it is. A surface and stormwater utility shall be accounted for as a separate enterprise fund of the city, and all annual utility service charges shall be used solely for surface water, surface and stormwater utility purposes.
Where are you?
Begin the second paragraph of 060.
Yeah. As those purposes are determined from time to time by the city manager or his or her designee, including without limitation the permit. I just wasn't quite sure that council was even aware that was in there. It seems to me a pretty big change. It just dropped in there, and I'm not sure where it's coming from.
So it's omitted from existing code?
Yes, or that is not in there. I went back to the existing code and looked for it. And certainly not in that section, but this has kind of been rewritten, so you have to kind of go through the whole code. And
yeah, how much of this is brand fresh, Gary, do you know?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
A lot of it's been lifted from other...
Yeah, on the other hand, they left in some things that are not totally...
Yeah,
the sewer stuff.
We talk about sewer,
The sewer liens in OM170 just...
I think we could spend an entire session going through this. Honestly, there's a lot in here that just doesn't make sense. Kind of read it and...
070.
First reading, it kind of goes there, okay, and you read it again, you go, I don't really know what the heck that says.
I think that's a term that's under the RCW, storm sewers is really what they refer to, and so it's a sewer lien under that RCW authority. Mm-hmm. So even that is correct language, I believe.
Okay. Other thoughts?
On a big element, I thought we were charging condominiums as single URUs. This gives them the option to calculate their space.
That's exactly what I've been saying. That's what we said and we talked about. Single ERU, unless we wanted to give them the option to do it like an apartment. That's our. We talked about that.
But I know we talked about it, but I don't think that was the UAC's recommendation.
I'm pretty clear. Are they going to take into account the common facilities, all that? We have had huge discussions at news. I think Steve spoke to
that's
that.
Exactly what we're talking about.
And we said,
well, we've got a recommendation, man. Here it is. You can get it out, who has our recommendation? I didn't bring a copy. Anyhow, so here's, let's talk about how we approach this, because we've got this to deal. We still have a tiny little thing called the comp plan. Mm-hmm. We can, I'm sure all of us have read it and made notes and questions. But we have sort of two choices here. One is we can all go through it. If it's a group now, we can do it at the next meeting, because they asked, you want something at the council on the 24th?
Seven.
We could have a subcommittee of this group take all of our comments and come back to the meeting next time with some suggested changes or ideas or thoughts. That's another way to approach this. How do we give the council some meaningful input before, in the time they need?
If you decide to have a subcommittee work on it, it might be most efficient and to finally arrive at the council's dais by having that subcommittee meet with Barry so they can kind of have give and take and hash it out.
I agree.
Nancy's gone.
Are you here until then?
Are you available? I'm leaving on the 23rd.
You're going the 10/23 to
November 1st.
November 1, okay. Well, let's ask this. Is there merit to us having a three-member subcommittee work on this, and does anybody want to volunteer? Do we have two or three people who want volunteers?
No, I'll work on it.
You got one. You got two. Your resignation doesn't go into effect. When he resigns, we lose the ability to have a three-member committee.
Oh, God. Don't resign yet.
Change your date from 16 to...
I'll help.
Maybe. So does that mean that everybody's okay, or do you want to do this as a whole group here?
Who's the committee?
Well, here's the question. Is this committee going to really save us time, or if we can find ourselves kind of doing this twice?
Yeah.
That's what I'm not sure of. If it can save us time, I'm all for it. And we'll kind of say, great, you guys did the bulk of the work. So will we save time with a subcommittee, or will we better off to do the committee the whole thing?
Well, the people that volunteered to be on the subcommittee are the people that would have their oar in the water.
Yeah, and they constitute a large portion of the committee.
You were one, weren't you, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on the subcommittee, whatever comes back will reflect your reviews.
Well, yeah, but I think what Steve's saying is if we have to rehash everything all over again.
I'm just suggesting that it's likely that, given the people that have volunteered to be involved, that will carry a lot of weight with the committee.
I agree with your comment. We want to save time.
Good, I was just asking. Are you sure?
No, you're correct.
Now, if we have a statement of the
committee comes back with issues, it'll be a list of issues that we will extracted from.
Now that I've seen the volunteers, I can be confident.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a subcommittee. We just, three volunteers, thank you very much. Each of us should send our comments, I have some, I assume others do as well, to them. They should have a meeting with Barry. I think it's a great idea to talk through it. And then come back to the full committee at the next meeting on the 26th. With their suggestions. And as Emily pointed out, and if there are any issues that we all ought to robustly talk about, then you can bring that to the whole committee and talk about it. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Paul. So, the most important thing, I think, is for us to give the comments, any other comments we have to the committee, so that the subcommittee can have input and input.
When do we need to have it done?
For the 26th.
That's 2 weeks. Is that enough time?
You don't have, yeah, I think, well, we're supposed to have it done back at the council for the meeting on the 27th. So I think you could do it in one meeting. I also think you can do it in one meeting with you sit down with Barry and talk through it, and then prepare something to come to. You guys can argue and talk with Barry about who brings a revised version from. Okay.
Right. Andy, could I pass along or comment? They go off. This sound like I'm
you can
trying to do this without sending my written comment in. But you know, this issue
which, which is what you're doing,
which is what I'm doing. But I'll try and be brief. But I think it's important because it's been highlighted here this 060 language, and I'm not sure I understand it. So I will spend some time. I'll look at this and send you a comment. But that. If the manager appears to have maybe some added authorities here, but if he also has responsibility for the compliance with these the municipal stormwater permit and so on, then that seems to be in alignment. So it's just a thought that where, you know, I don't yet see this as overreach, but let me look it over carefully and then I'll say.
I just have a question. That why is this referred to as a monthly service charge, yet it's actually billed, paid every semi-annual?
Because that's just the way
that's just who it's been?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I always thought it's an annual charge. It's just billed collected twice a year.
Maybe it's so it can be compared easily with other most people's monthly charges. Most other cities have it shows a monthly chart, so it makes it more directly comparable.
The table you had in the management plan basically amounts to 12 times this number for the
current
number.
Yeah, so. Yes.
And those are all annuals, apparently.
Right. For that thing, we compared it to the
okay. Anything else on this? All right, we're moving on. All right, let's go to the comp plan. So, at the last meeting, we went through, as you know, we went through the general policies, and as a result of that, Steve sent around an updated version of that. I'm honestly trying to figure out how we can get through all this without laboriously all seven of us sitting around the table going line by line through all of these utilities. Anybody got any brilliant ideas since we've gone through this once already? Otherwise, we can keep going. Because I want to go back to, we also did water and then we were about ready to start on sewer. I don't want to just detract or distract us too much, but it just so happens today, working in my office or something, I got a copy of the City of Lake Forest Park's draft comp plan. And so I looked at it. They're going through the whole process right now. City of Lake Forest Park's smaller than we are, but they're kind of like us in a way. So I copied their utility owner. Here it is. I've got copies for everybody. It's three pages. That's it. They got four goals. And they've got six goals, six policies under. And by the way, Steve Leach, you'll love this. Goal number one, service quality. Ensure quality utility services are provided throughout Lake Forest Park to meet the needs of current and future residents and businesses. That's their goal.
Ours is copyrighted.
That's right. And their goal two is planning. Their goal three is community impacts. Goal four is environmental impacts. And it's done in three pages.
Those are goals only?
Okay.
Well, under goals, under the goal of service quality has six policies. Under planning, it has six policies. Under community impacts, it has four policies. And under environmental impacts, it has nine policies.
Can we just adopt their plan?
And it's a lot of stuff we've just been sort of going over laboriously. I honestly sit here and thought, holy cow, maybe we are beating ourselves too much by being too much a slave to the pre-2004 mm-hmm. plan mm-hmm. rather than doing it fresher.
I know. They didn't give us that.
And how many pages was it included?
Three pages. Here it is.
Well,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's the goals?
No, that's the entire utility element of the comp plan.
But that's not true of Paul's volume.
I understand. Now, I have to say, they actually have their appendix. They have has the background.
They all have the maps.
With the maps and the description and so on. But, you know, I actually, as I read through this, I'm a very good one, because I only saw this an hour before.
I thought, man, we can tear this down. Is it possible that they had staff develop this and then... And have we inverted that relationship where instead of us working over a staff draft, we have been...
I don't know the answer to that. They certainly have consultants working on it, no doubt.
Yeah.
And the city here has consultants working on it as well.
And might that serve us better if we... We're down the road here, but that's what I suspect.
Well, they've had community, I don't know the full detail, but they've had community meetings, and they've had the Planning Commission has been through this. This is, by the way, ready to go to the City Council. It's been through the Planning Commission. So the Planning Commission's had tons of hearings. So
I have a copy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't get stapled, so but it's only three pages.
Here
you are.
I like the trend, though, because the sewer section was so detailed down to the streets.
So one thing you might be interested, in knowing is if once the comp plan is...
This is, I'm going to hand you these, keep going, you're going to get the rest here. This is one, each of you, give those to Nancy, give them.
Oh, this is one page each?
One page.
Okay.
Everybody's getting single pages.
One thing that you might be interested in knowing is that once the comp plan gets adopted by the City Council, it has to go to the Puget Sound Regional Council and be approved and certified by them. And so if you're interested in kind of drawing from somebody else's utilities element, you might look at the element from some that have been approved. That's not to say that this isn't a perfectly good one, but this isn't one that's been approved yet.
No, I hear you. And I'm only reacting. I did not go looking for this. It just happened to show up today. And you're right, this hasn't been approved.
Who has to approve? Puget Sound Regional Council.
Who is they?
They are apparently the regional group designated in the Growth Management Act, certified at the state that
doesn't have cellular.
Plan complies with the growth management.
It does not have cellular. Notice that on the first cover page, they do water, sewer, service, water, electricity, natural gas, telecommunications, solid waste.
Andy, are you only giving us the cover page?
No, we have all three.
Oh, okay.
And notice they do not have separate policies for the separate utilities. Mm-hmm. Except when you read into some of them, and particularly environmental impacts, they have a couple that talk about water. For example, U4.3 encourage water utilities. And work with the fourth page. Work with electric utilities. So they have and encourage waste management utilities. So they do have a little of that. And I don't want to overly distract us from what we were doing, but I'm trying to figure a way that we can do this more efficiently.
Well, I think they just tossed me under the bus. Internet, cellular, or cable TV.
I think, Andy, this is, I'm so glad you send this around because, and I think Val makes, Chris, a good point. The already adopted plans might be worth looking at by the regional entity. But it just seems to me, as I read these things, they sort through and simplify so many things that we're, bogged down with. So I think the question in my mind is, what's wrong with the way they've done this? What are we capturing? What have we done that's better than this? And the generic terminology seems helpful.
Of course, Nancy looked at several comp plans as she was going over her stuff, and they weren't nearly as.
No.
What do you think?
I edited back.
What do you think of this?
It doesn't cover internet, cellular, or cable TV, just at a first glance. So that's very intriguing to me that they just left out the internet. That I'm the expert on the internet, I'm hoping I'll get a lot of feedback from you people, but I think probably you should touch on it.
Just look at this quickly. U1.5, mm-hmm. Improved telecommunication services where they focus on ISP internet connectivity.
Okay, that's how they get it in there.
Telecommunications, I can say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And they highlight that with a note.
Right.
And do they have cellular?
I assume that's telecommunications. I don't know.
But that's only both focus on high-speed internet. Okay, they don't care. I don't know.
Maybe they have good cellular.
Nobody cares.
Just as a point of reference, I just pulled up Redmond, which has recently been approved. Mm-hmm. It's 21 pages.
Yeah.
Not to say that this should be more or less, but it's got general utility policies, and it's got sections on water, sewer, stormwater, solid waste, energy, telecommunications, and hazardous liquid pipelines.
Hazardous liquid what?
Oh, because they have hazardous liquid
pipelines.
Not sure.
The band knows we have to have a second.
We need to. Oh, yeah, we can add that to the pipeline.
Don't we have them on the beach here?
Yeah,
okay.
That's not hazardous. That's not hazardous.
I don't know.
You're waiting in it.
Yeah, it's big as hazard.
Well, Redmond's a lot bigger than Lake Forest Park, that's for darn sure.
I think the goals that Steve, I just relooked at them before I came. But, that's on the money. I think that's a good to go. And I think we should continue with.
I second that.
Just no, doing individual sections and keeping them as brief as my goal is now to try to edit back a little what you
have. Right. What you see is what my note said. The result was, after laboriously going through it line by line, the only two questions I had was on goal 6.
So everybody, let's take out what Steve did, which is the general goals and policies. and he sent around after our meeting last week.
The only question I had was first with goal 6, because my notes were not self-evident after I extracted them. I just want to make certain this is the outcome we all agreed with, or agreed to, and the only other one was I made a command decision. What did I make? I deleted visual and instead put a more general term, adverse impacts on the surrounding landscape. Because we discussed...
Goal 7, you're in goal 7.
Yeah, goal 7. Because we discussed sound, vibration, as well as visual. Mm-hmm. And could be odors as well.
Yeah.
Mm. So I deleted visual and then added surrounding landscape and residents who would also be impacted. So those are the only two changes that I... The only straying I did from what we agreed to.
Steve, I had trouble with goal 10. It just seems like an unfinished sentence.
This is the third one. We didn't discuss that.
Oh.
I realized I didn't have any notes for goal 10, and I think admitted it. We skipped over it in our discussion.
I thought there was just language missing. I had so that activities are coordinated to address utility needs. I had notes on that for my...
Which one do you... I'm sorry.
Number 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, is...
It's
missing a part. It says in other facilities so that activities are coordinated to address utility needs, I think.
We don't want to keep digging up the street time after time. That's
okay. Well, I must have dozed off during that.
Yeah, I penciled something in that said that.
All right, I'll make that change. That
was the only thing I saw.
That answers my question. Mm-hmm. I will change that and consider this a penultimate version.
All right. So
goal 7, your adverse impact. Is maybe the surrounding landscape too limiting? That kind of sounds like physical landscape.
Right. And that's why you added and residents.
Well, I'm wondering whether or not instead of surrounding landscape, you shouldn't say the environment.
Because sound wouldn't be landscape.
Includes the landscape.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Adverse
impacts on the environment and residents.
Or you assume
do we want to say immediate environment? Because otherwise that gives people who are perhaps 5 miles away but feel they have an interest in immediate impact.
They do.
Well, they do.
Feel that way anyway.
They do have an interest. They may have an interest, but do they have a valid interest?
If there's an adverse environmental impact, everybody's got an interest.
Can we say on residents and the environment?
On residents and the environment?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it all.
Yeah, I think I like that. Only worries me a little bit about it is, these broad environmental impacts of the activities we undertake, and somehow this seems to be, to a certain extent, local. Let me see if I can think of an example. Carbon impacts, for instance, maybe
not what you had in mind. How would that work, Val?
Well, first of all, this is a policy goal.
Yeah.
And it says are designed to minimize the adverse impacts. It doesn't say that there can't be an impact. It says that you have to take it into consideration and do your best.
Yeah.
The way I read it. But.
So what other changes do we have here? We just have
7 and 10.
7 and 10.
What was the final change to 7? Or the 10, I'm sorry.
The 10?
Suggested change was that you study the surrounding landscape.
No, that's 7, I'm sorry.
I mean 7.
And other facilities so that activities are coordinated to address utility needs?
Are coordinated to address utility needs.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What we don't have is a bunch of policies underneath these, but I guess we'll live with what we got for right now, huh?
Well, that's brevity.
That's brevity.
That's our Lake Forest way.
Well, there are two policies under.
There are.
Mm-hmm. UP 1 and 2.
I had one.
Providing sufficient resources.
All right. So, should we move on from this and go back and hit water and sewer and keep on going here? Otherwise.
Can we adopt the place?
No, I don't think we
want to
adopt
do
anything.
That.
So we'll send out a final.
All right. One of the things we need to do, Barry, you and I at some point need to talk about how we get this administratively into something.
Right.
And I don't figure out how that gets in a single document or something.
Just by way of clarification, I picked up all the electrical stuff in the electrical section. And so a lot of what's attached behind Steve's general points are already dealt with there. As far as electrical goes, you probably get the same thing with the telephone.
Right, and I just wanted to comment on, I had a question about that too, Jim, because I assumed whatever Jim is doing, like that secondary part is just, it's an explanation of why you got rid of a lot of it, rather than suggesting the electrical should stay. We're going to adopt something that Jim has,
and
right?
You're going to do
that's my understanding, right. Yeah. That was confusing.
So maybe the people who this speaks to are responsible for striking. You guys can have at it, right?
Yeah, we haven't figured out how to deal with that yet.
We're just dealing with goals.
What Steve did is to essentially comment on the rest, why it's not being included in his goals.
Right.
And then
right.
People can pick them up or not pick them up. In the end, we may end up with a document that says, here's the original thing, and here's all things deleted.
Because this seems like a big punch up.
Yeah, so that's what it'll be. It'll be just next step. Okay, so are we done with general now? Right? All right, which ones do we want to take up now? We went through water last time.
Yeah, I didn't update what we did because I wanted to wait.
You got too many.
Grass going, you can't.
I agree.
Right, and I didn't either because I wanted to hear from all of the entities involved.
All right, I don't think it really
it's
changed.
It's going to be very brief, I think.
Well, you know what, I think.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I think.
Because if we're taking out the Point Monroe project, then it's going to be a few goals and a couple of policies.
So I do think that for both of you, when you're sort of revising the goals, so the next time, I hope next time we have something we really sort of curious to go over. You might think of an overarching goal for water utility.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. You said
right.
An overarching goal for water. And that
I'm much clearer now that I've heard of them.
Yeah. All right. So shall we take up either electrical or Nancy's other? You guys want to flip a coin? Well, we got about 10 minutes here. Which one do we want to do with? And then we're going to pick the other one up at the beginning of the next meeting.
Well, I just mentioned to Jim that I think, you know, mine, I touched on electrical, and I was going to forward him my comments about it and exit it out of my part, because I don't want, it's sort of like a steep part, like, I don't want that confusing anybody. So my next version would cut out anything I mentioned about electrical, other than just passing it on to Jim to look at.
Okay.
Well, I have a comment about the electrical, and maybe Jim and I could get together on this. I sort of, early on, there was, a little bit of an overreach on my part in terms of describing the public power option and how that might work. That part of that is that I thought I'd take advantage of that, whether you want it or not, to kind of tell you what that was about. This language here has got some things, including a kind of reference to PSE that I think in other categories we make more generic. We have, you know, set goals that are kind of generic but not bound with the idea that it's the job of the city sort of set goals, not limited by any one provider. So anyway, what that suggests is maybe Jim and I could sit down and make this somewhat more generic, and these items that are relatively specific to the current.
Well, I don't know if it pops out or not, but the last item at the bottom of page 2, E1. I think that's 6, comes over on page 3, picked up on all that discussion. Cities shall evaluate opportunities to provide improved and cost-effective electrical service from alternative electrical supply and operation strategies, such as city-owned and operated electrical utilities. Okay, so that's
I did see that, Jim. I appreciate that.
And that's in there.
Yeah.
For the time being.
Yeah. Seems to me some of this stuff like potential for undergrounding lines. As the majority of distribution lines are above ground and subject to windstorms, the city shall encourage PSE to maintain strong emphasis on tree trimming to minimize outages. I think that may be unnecessary and is kind of narrow. You could expect that anyway. So how about setting goals for us instead of this language? If in E1.4, encourage undergrounding of new transmission lines if and when the UTC changes its rate regulations and tariffs in such a manner to allow a global distribution of undergrounding costs across its rate base. How about just either encourage undergrounding new transmission lines without that other language?
Well, didn't we do away with a lot of that?
E1.4, didn't we do away with most of it?
Where it says delete this, is that?
Yeah, just eliminate that one. That to me was way too narrow because we're just talking about one line.
Oh, I see. So when you said delete this, you were deleting where you've got E1.4, delete this. It included, then down below it says E1.4 again.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
That's the new one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, in that case, I think it's.
It does have.
Making it more generic would be.
You don't like the if and when the WUTC changes its rates.
Yeah, I mean,
that was the language from the last one, so I don't know where it came from, to tell you the truth.
It comes from Puget Sound Energy, they love it, right?
Yeah,
probably.
So we ought to be forthright about what we want to happen there.
So yeah.
It's only the word encourage, too.
As you go through this, this isn't just an electrical issue. It's, I think, with the water utility, the sewer utility, the solid waste, you might want to think about writing these things kind of gender neutral.
Generically.
So that you're clearly stating the policies, and they apply regardless of who provides the service.
Yes.
Because if you talk about solid waste, you're probably not going to go through and be talking about Bainbridge disposal. You're going to be talking about what you want to happen with solid waste.
Right, and it's independent of the vendor. You know, they're doing a pretty good job, but we've set the standards for solid waste. And then when it comes time to kind of review their franchise, we say, well, versus an alternate.
That's not my point. My point is that the goals and policies with regard to providing utility services ought to be goals and policies that state what you want for your community in the future. It really doesn't make any difference who's providing it. It's what you want to happen.
Right.
Provider of different.
Right.
So how are we going to take up everybody? So
we can fix that.
All right. Well, I'm suggesting.
I think we're pretty close.
So may I suggest to make this easier to read and understand? I know we've got into the crossout mode, but it just is really hard to read. Maybe after you guys play around for the next one, you bring a sort of a clean version as well. So this is what it will look like.
Yeah, that's what I did the first time.
I know you did. And then we got off. Now there's so many deletions. You kind of.
That's right.
I don't think we're too far away.
Yeah. This can be a one pager.
Good.
Yeah.
And
right.
I just wanted to add some of the language I have about what Steve is talking about. I said that not just under, you know, increasing prudent tree pruning, but the undergrounding of new transmission lines and systematic replacement and undergrounding of old transmission lines, particularly main distribution lines, which affect the most households in the downtown Winslow business corridor, with the goal of improving reliability. I know the last time there was a big meeting with PSC, you know, that a lot of the downtown businesses, you know, when their Visa card stuff goes out and the banks go down, it's a serious issue. Or you know, if your house is open, it goes down, you can't come into Winslow Center and go eat at the diner to make up for it. I mean, that's the first place that should be up. And if when those lines come across from Polesville, those are the ones we really want to focus on, making sure are undergrounded or protected, because that's everybody, you know. And just going and undergrounding new subdivisions is useless to even that subdivision if the main line coming over from Polesville is down.
Anything,
so I would like to see some
fall
kind of
over Agate Pass. Anything that's going to fall on it over Agate Pass.
So that's something I'd like to see more language about encouraging.
The thing that's been bothering me in this whole array of stuff is that there's a whole lot of mix-up in the technical issues going on here. The difference between a transmission line and a distribution line and a house service and so on. It's one of the things I think we need to absolutely nail down, or be totally, generic, one or the other. But this thing mixes it all up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to do here. We talk about three main operating areas in any electric utility. It's generation, transmission, and distribution. And as long as we can stay in that mindset as to how we're doing this stuff, then we'll be clear.
I think it's a good idea to focus on transmission. By the way, the cost of transmission underground is quantum different from distribution underground.
Yeah,
as an example.
But it is a case that many communities our size and some geographically similar to us
have them.
So it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's
especially
not something
ones that
you
are publicly
can do,
owned.
But it's not a bad goal. But I think we're close. I favor the generic, including on this distribution.
I'm just going to send both of you that line and let you deal with the technicalities.
So I would suggest, this is great, I would suggest that what we do is if we're about quitting time, you guys work on electric and bring in something. We're going to start with you, Nancy, next meeting.
Is that the 26th?
Yeah.
I will be able to. I just waited to say that.
She did, didn't she?
I will try to have something ready for the 26th, so at least you can.
We can go through it. I can maybe talk about that before.
Okay.
And then we're going to go with you guys. and we still have to deal with some.
Something for the good of the order with regard.
Yes, we do. That's where we're going right now. So, for the good of the order, Mr. Leach said he wants to resign.
Actually, he said he has resigned.
Yeah, we didn't accept it.
We didn't accept it.
He's only going to be gone for 4 months.
Well, that's 4 months that I know of, and there's a good possibility I will be out longer. And
Steve, I don't want to, I'm just arm wrestling you. I'd love to have
Yeah, I know. It's just like the guys you used to lead on patrols in Vietnam. They didn't get to argue with you.
You think council's going to get you replaced in 4 months?
How many months did you spend watching the thing before you even were a member? It's been four months
before he got on.
Yes.
He's on for 4 months. He leaves. He's going to be on vacation for 4 months. And I don't know how long it's going to take. And wasn't your term only up till June, right?
It was only until June.
Yeah.
That's right.
So you come back in 6 months or 4 months and you get reappointed.
If it's still available.
Elbows up.
No, but you're prevented from recruiting someone else.
Well, that's a question, not Val. It's up to you and the mayor and the city manager about how quickly you would replace somebody. But that's. And he's, as we all know, Steve is our Winslow resident.
Ann has had us on a, apparently there's some sort of a schedule set somewhere where we do this twice a year, and I think we do it once in January.
Right,
so
yeah, batching them all.
Right now, if we move quickly and can find somebody, we can get them appointed in January.
City ratepayer and ambulatory? That's what you That's
hard to find.
Vital signs? Good vital signs?
If any of you have any ideas, somebody, preferably a ratepayer.
Yeah, I gave you one name.
Just a ratepayer? What are the qualifications?
Well, we all, terrific people. We have had
terrific people
apply. We still have terrific people who apply. It's still wonderful to get more people who are Winslow ratepayers. Okay.
So one more for the good of the order.
We have a tour on Friday. Thank you. That was the other subject. Thank you. You're off.
Well, I just want to see if, I assume Steve doesn't want to go now.
No, my life is impoverished. I want to go on this freebie.
This tour. We're going to finish.
It's going to be a junket. We're going to have lunch included.
No, we're going to finish it for lunch.
We don't want to eat after the sewage treatment.
Steve wants to say, I went on a junket to the sewer treatment plant.
I want a junket.
So is everybody else going or planning to go?
Yeah.
Where do we meet? When? We're going to be here at 9, I think.
So have you got a van or something?
No, we got two vehicles, but then Wayne Roth, one of the council members, wanted to tag along too. Mm-hmm. And then Mal suggests we invite the rest of the city council.
Only if you. I don't know what the capacity is.
We have to get another driver too. And of course, we might have to also notice the meeting.
why don't we let Wayne and I report back, if other people want to do it.
And Doug was suggesting, really, we probably should do something new city council is on board in January, and we have some new members to brief to orientate all of those folks.
So why don't you tell us where you're taking this?
I don't have a... we were planning to... the main facility, so Head of the Bay, where our main storage is, and we have one of our main pumping sites is, like 7 different wells there, and different treatment systems, and some storage, temporary storage. The high school site, where our main water storage is, I'm thinking of something else. And then we were trying to hit some sewer ones too, so hit one pump station, which would be like the SR305 pump station, the newest and best pump station, I guess. The treatment plant.
Climb down and something?
Well, it's kind of a, you can look. I'm not sure you can climb. It might be a confined space.
It's in a vault.
If you're not all confined space clear, then we have to have, a hoist and everything on site. But you can see, and some of it is just the control panel also that's up in the electrical. And then there's, of course, a lot of the treatment plant that can be seen. And seems like I'm missing one or two other things. But you know, obviously, we're not hitting everything, but as much as we can.
I'm just thinking to do it in 3 hours, you got
to. Right, that's why
we really have to move fast.
That's when you mentioned Fletcher Bay. I think we decided not to go to Fletcher Bay because it was kind of just another well. It's like way over there. We can see plenty of wells at the head of the bay, and that's just steeper, but you can't tell that from the surface.
Yeah, all that's out there. I've been there. All that's out there.
Yeah, it's not much to see.
The wellhouse.
So there's a lot more to see ahead of the bay.
Fletcher Bay.
Fletcher Bay. Well, it's out toward the, you know, Fletcher Bay, but I don't know.
Foster?
What's that? What road is it on? I'm not sure. But
I don't remember.
But
you
it's
can,
not much
you can just show us a picture of it.
Yeah.
Are we there? Are we there? Or you can give a map and
so we're trying to stay somewhat close to the Winslow area so we didn't have to spend a lot of time in the
Well, we're not even going over to Rockaway Beach, though.
We could do that. I think we might have that on there because that's a little unique because the well is obviously right kind of inside the Japanese, memorial site surrounded by it.
The storage is creosote.
Yeah.
Tanks up by the
tree. Tanks up by Bill Point on the side of the hill almost. So yeah, we should. And they have a pump station there too, a sewer pump station on the far end of Rockaway.
Yeah, I can tell you. You have to be really fast to do this. We could spend 2 hours in the treatment plant.
Right. That's why we're trying to
make that really short.
So minimize the questions.
Just blow your whistle when the bus is leaving.
Yeah, that's how we get a duck boat. I think they're available. They have high capacity.
On the market.
Okay.
That was Steve's idea.
So what time is it? 9 or 9?
9.
Well, I saw earlier. We can start earlier. 8. You guys want to start earlier?
Yeah, we could start at 8 or meet at 8 and get sure. Earlier.
I'm okay with that.
Because if we only start at 9, then we're in the car at 9:15 and we have lost some time.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Get off earlier if we start.
So are we meeting out there?
Yeah, just meet out front here. We'll have the cars right out front.
And we can
park
in the
public notice of this. Yeah. She'll do that discussion. Rod's can put it out.
Yeah, but Rod needs to know.
Yeah.
What? Notice this.
Can she get us passes for everybody?
One's fine.
Yeah.
To park there? Do we have parking passes for everybody?
Well, you can get one inside.
Okay.
And we can make sure you get 4 hours.
Make her aware that there's going to be a run on them at 8 a.m. for everybody.
Yeah.
We don't want tickets.
Yeah, no.
You have a good choice.